Galen, Halloween is a Celtic holiday, so we're both celebrating our heritage today.
Oh my god, we are.
Yeah.
What are you doing for Halloween?
I'm going to jump some bonfires.
What's the most Celtic thing we can do in New York City?
I think we could probably find like a druid ceremony in New York City that we could go to. Holler at us, druids of New York.
Hello, welcome to the 538 Politics Podcast, and happy Halloween. I'm Galen Druk, and we're actually going to have some fun today for
Spooky.
The holiday. Yeah. We are going to play a game for Halloween. It's called Buy, Sell, Hold.
And or I'll egg your house.
Yes, that's the fourth option. In case you are unfamiliar with this game, we throw caution to the wind and make our own judgments about the odds listed in the forecast. Essentially, we're going to pretend that we're the Scottish teens on Predict It. And here to do that with me are senior politics writer Claire Malone. Hey, Claire.
Hey, Galen.
What are you being for Halloween?
I guess I'm dressed as a witch with a B. I don't know.
And managing editor Micah Cohen.
Hello.
How's it going? What's your costume?
Generic white dude.
Middle management.
Yeah, middle management.
I'm kidding. Mike is in charge.
It's a little too on the nose.
Notably, Nate is not here. If you listened to last week's model talk, you know that he said that he doesn't have any opinions about the forecast outside of what's listed on the site. So we are going to take the opportunity to share those opinions without that adult supervision.
I gotta say, this is a plug for last week's model talk, where Nate just answered reader questions with the same disdain that we have all come to know and love of his Twitter presence. And
but Nate is here in the form of the model.
Yes.
Nate is the model, and the model is Nate.
So think of this as you guys arguing with Nate. He can't respond. You can say whatever you want.
This will be great.
So here's how we're going to do this. Today, we're looking at just the Senate, and we're going to focus in on the likelies, the leans, and the toss-up races. And the way this works is I'm going to give you the odds of the leading candidate, and you can hold right where they are. You can buy if you think their chances are actually better than what we have listed, or you can sell if you think their chances are worse. And perhaps we'll get to the House in a future episode, but let's begin with the overall odds of Republicans keeping the Senate. So we show Republicans in the classic forecast as having a 6 in 7 chance of keeping their majority. Claire, buy, sell, or hold?
I always get confused by this game. Buying means I think that's the right rating.
No. Buying means I think there's a better... So let's use an example. There is a 3 in 4 chance that Micah will be better at this game than Claire. Buy means I actually think there's a better chance than that Micah will be better at this. Sell means, no, I think the chances are worse than that. Hold means, no, that's perfectly exactly right.
Okay.
So the classic forecast gives Republicans a 6 in 7 chance of keeping their majority. Where are we going with this?
I'm going to buy. I think there's an even better chance than 6 in 7.
You want to back that up with something?
I think a number of races have tightened in states that are favorable to Republicans. So somewhere like Missouri. I'm like curious about Montana for some reason, even though it's we've got John Tester with the 5 in 6 chance of winning. I'm like not totally sure about that. I think Democrats are likely to lose Nevada. I'm a little bit like, ooh, I think maybe there's some stuff that could be going on that we're just not getting in
right.
polls.
And this also isn't win a bunch of seats. It's just hold steady where they are or even lose one seat because then they'd still, you know, it'd be 50-50 and Pence could break it. So what about you, Micah? Buy, sell, hold on 6 in 7 chances Republicans keep their majority.
So I think Claire makes a good case. I actually am going to sell for the mirror reason, which is what Claire's getting at is there is like this weird divide. There are however many Democrats in red states, incumbent Democratic senators, Montana, North Dakota, Missouri, Indiana. And there's kind of this weird split where Tester, according to the polls, looks really safe. Not really safe, but somewhat safe. Sherrod Brown in Ohio looks really safe. Donnelly in Indiana seems pretty safe. But then Heitkamp in North Dakota, her polling has gotten much worse. Claire McCaskill in Missouri, as Claire mentioned, that race has tightened. So it's sort of like the sell on this is it's actually really rare for an incumbent senator to lose in like a wave year for their party.
Oh, okay. So you're making the bet that like McCaskill will be bolstered.
Yeah. So my sell would be, yeah. Hey, maybe actually all this polling showing McCaskill in trouble, Heitkamp losing, maybe that's off. And the historical norm, which is incumbent senators win when it's a good year for their party, holds true. That's kind of like, that would be step one in Democrats winning the Senate. It's not enough on its own. Then they would have to win Nevada, Arizona, and then like hold Florida, win Texas. So I guess what I would say is my sell isn't so much that I think Democrats are going to win the Senate. I think that's very unlikely. But I just think maybe it's a little more likely than 1 in 7 if these red state Democrats are actually doing a little bit better than the polling suggests. But the opposite also might be true, which is it's totally possible, as Claire says, that actually these red state Democrats are doing worse than we think because this historical norm, which factors into the model, isn't true this year, and partisanship will reign and they'll lose.
I think we gave good opposite answers.
That's the difficulty or fun when you have a bunch of close races, right? It's kind of going to break maybe one way or the other.
That we don't know the answer.
Notice that neither of us held, though, which means that we both think Nate is wrong. Nate, aka the model, is wrong.
Okay, let's get into the specific races. There is only one race right now that the classic forecast shows as a toss-up. Are you looking at it on your screens right now, or can you guess?
Can you pull it up on the projector, please?
Nevada.
Incumbent Republican Dean Heller has a 3 in 5 chance of winning in Nevada. Buy, sell, hold.
I'm going to sell that. I think his chances are worse than that, slightly worse.
Mm-hmm. I guess this fits your overall theory of the Senate map, right?
Yes. It actually fits Claire's vision of the Senate map, I'm now realizing. If our operating assumption is that partisanship is more powerful this year than historically it's been, and incumbency is less powerful this year than historically it's been, then those red state Democrats would lose, but then Heller would also lose.
Yeah.
Because Nevada's a swing state, and Heller is an incumbent.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide whether or not to hold. I think I'm going to hold because, okay, so we give Heller a 3 in 5 chance. It's a really close race, obviously, because you just said it was a toss-up. I think the weird thing here with this race is, so obviously Nevada went blue in 2016. Dean Heller had some public tussles with Trump, which kind of made him a weird candidate early on in the cycle. But the thing about Jackie Rosen is that she's relatively new. She was elected in 2016. Like, no one's ever talking about Jackie Rosen, you know? Like,
That's true. She hasn't really become a personality in the way some other people have.
Right.
She's not quite a Beto O'Rourke.
And I just think that, so in the governor's race, it's also a toss-up.
It's almost the exact same.
Which I think is like,
supports a hold.
Yeah. It's just an interesting state this year. I tend to think Heller will eke it out just because he's like the name in that race. And Rosen isn't, but I don't feel confident enough in either direction to disagree with Nate the model.
Partly supporting my sell, our deluxe forecast, which factors in experts' ratings, has Heller as a 55% favorite. Mm-hmm. Classic has him as a 59% favorite. Mm-hmm. So a slight sell on my part.
Fair enough. Okay, we also have one lean Republican seat. According to the Classic model right now, which is about midday on Wednesday, North Dakota. Republican challenger Kevin Cramer has a 3 in 4 chance against Heidi Heitkamp. Of course, a race that we've been watching pretty closely over the past few weeks. Buy, sell, hold.
I'm going to buy that puppy.
Buy that.
I think Heitkamp's in real trouble.
Real trouble. How about you, Micah?
Sell.
Sell.
Are you doing this on purpose?
He's doing the incumbency thing.
Yeah, I have to have a consistent.
Yeah. So to poke holes in your incumbency thing, I mean, we are not getting any data or, frankly, like good news from an anecdotal sense from the Heitkamp camp. I mean, she had that really messy situation where she had this ad where she released the names of sexual assault survivors without their consent, in addition to her Kavanaugh vote, in addition to the red climate of the state. That's a really uphill fight for her. What's the Democratic line? She's going to get out the vote in the last week. You think that that's...
No, I think, look, if you want to explain why Heitkamp is having more trouble than Tester or Donnelly, then, well, one, just as an aside, is it a total coincidence that Heitkamp and McCaskill...
They're women.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I was going.
Gail and I were actually talking about this right before the podcast about how it's interesting how the races, how these, you know, red state races have really tightened on these two women, Claire McCaskill and Heidi Heitkamp. And it made me think, I've been reading Identity Crisis by John Sides, Michael Tesler, and Lynn Vavreck, which is a look back at the dynamics of the 2016 election. And it talks a lot about Clinton's campaign and trying to gin up support through essentially gender identification and how that, you know, she did just as well with women as Obama had. There wasn't really a lot of change, but she lost huge numbers of men, you know. That's why we had a historic gender gap. And I keep on thinking in these political situations that make people remember, oh, she's a woman, and maybe she thinks differently about politics than I do, even if she says she's a moderate or she says she's an independent voter. And I think it's really interesting to watch in these final couple weeks how these two women in red states have how their campaign dynamics have shifted.
And to your point, there's research that shows that women are perceived as more liberal than men.
Regardless of their actual policies.
Exactly. Right. So if you're running in a red state, that's a problem. But look, like Heitkamp, one, beat her polls in 2012. I think in 2012, she was the only underdog in our forecast that won. There might have been one other one, but we had her with like a 9% chance or something in 2012, and she ended up winning. Two, the only recent polls we've gotten there are like Republican-leaning pollsters or Republican partisan pollsters. So it's like, I don't think we have that good of a read on the race. You know, do I think she's a favorite? No, but maybe I give her like a 2-in-3 chance rather than a 3-in-4 chance.
All right. So we're going to move on to our lean Democratic races. First off is Arizona. We give Democrat Kyrsten Sinema a 5-in-8 chance of winning there. I think it's back to you, Micah. Buy, sell, hold.
Sell. So 5-in-8, we have her as a 62% favorite. I think it's probably a little closer to 50-50. Yeah. Arizona has gotten more purplish, but it's a state where Trump support is still relatively high. I think it's a bit closer to 50-50.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of these.
We can agree.
I know. I'm looking at our polling page, and I'm looking at the polls that came in from Arizona over the last couple of days, and a couple have Sinema up +4, +6, but then, you know, there's some +2 McSally. So I think you're right that it is close.
The polling has been kind of a little bit all over the place. I mean, it's a close race, so you would expect polls to come out showing either candidate ahead, but it's like R+1, D+5,
yeah.
D+3, R+2, R+2, D+7.
And that was one of the races that, you know, we've been talking since the primary about how it seemed like Kyrsten Sinema was doing well, but then maybe after the primary is over and McSally's no longer running against Kelly Ward and Joe Arpaio, that it would go closer towards a toss-up. I think that's maybe what we've seen.
Yeah, definitely Republicans have coalesced behind McSally. This race has so much more polling than North Dakota. That's weird.
Is it?
I also think that
maybe
people have stopped polling North Dakota because they think that
it's over.
It's over.
Ooh.
But I agree that I think Sinema still has a really good chance at pulling it out. But I would agree with Micah that it's, given the environment of Arizona, it's of the Arizona electorate, it's probably closer.
Let's move to Florida, where Democrat Bill Nelson has a 5-in-7 chance of winning that race. So a little bit better than Kyrsten Sinema, not by much.
I'm going to sell.
You're going to sell.
I think it's closer.
So Nelson has lower than a 72% chance of winning.
Yeah.
Even with Gillum on the ticket, we get that question all the time from Model Talk. Like, aren't the candidates going to ride the coattails of the more popular one? And
yeah.
Yeah.
I think my general vibe, if Micah has had a line in this thing of incumbency, I guess mine is like, these are close.
No, they are. There are a lot of close races.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, I do think Gillum, I mean, I guess Gillum has had a pretty good week in the last week, too.
Yeah.
With those debates against DeSantis. And so just for people, so we can spell out the theory, Andrew Gillum, who is black, might turn out and energize a lot of constituencies who will vote down ballot Democrat and therefore vote for elderly white man, Senator incumbent Bill Nelson, who is not particularly showboaty and not particularly a face that you would see in the news a lot. I mean, versus Rick Scott, the governor, who's been kind of out there with hurricane stuff. But again, it's like Florida's purple and Florida's a big state. I would say it probably is the Democrat, but like I'm going to be safe and say let's sell in order to get closer to 50%.
I'm buying.
There you go.
Here's my argument. One, I sort of do buy the Gillum argument, even though if you look at governor results and Senate results, they don't march in lockstep, right? There were some states in 2016 that had like 40 percentage point gaps between mm-hmm. the margin of the governor's race and the...
Oh, and that'll happen again this year, like in yeah. Massachusetts, in Maryland, maybe even in Wisconsin.
Exactly. So like, despite what some people might think, voters are perfectly capable of differentiating between two candidates and two races. I just think that, I guess I am operating under the theory that Democrats, particularly incumbent Democrats, are going to outperform their polls a little bit mm-hmm. on election day. Mm-hmm. I think that is my operating theory. So in Florida, I would expect Nelson to be a little safer. We have him right now winning by like 4 points, you know, maybe he wins by 5 or 6. I don't think he's an overwhelming favorite, but, you know, I'd probably say maybe his chances are 3 and 4 thereabouts rather than 5 and 7.
All right. We are going to continue this game of buy, sell, hold in a minute with the other lean Democratic races. But before we do that, let me tell you that today's podcast is brought to you by Casper Mattress. Casper helps you get the best night's sleep, period. Switching to Casper is a no-brainer, and once you try it, you will never go back. Casper is a high-quality mattress at an affordable price. Sleep cool and comfortable every night thanks to the unique combination of foams that provide the right pressure relief and alignment. Especially now as fall arrives and the weather shifts, it's a tricky time for temperature control. But Casper will keep you comfortable no matter the season. Casper ships right to your door for free in a small, how did they even do that sized box. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it and refund you everything. From its engineering to its packaging to letting you try it for 100 nights. It's no wonder Casper has over 35,000 five-star reviews of all of their products across Casper, Google, and Amazon. Sleeping on a mattress is the best way to try it. So put Casper to the test in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. Go to Casper.com and use code POLITICS for $50 towards the purchase of select mattresses. That's Casper.com code POLITICS and get $50 toward the purchase of select mattresses. Again, that's Casper.com/POLITICS. Terms and conditions apply. Let's continue our conversation about the lean Democratic races. We've got two left. There are four overall. And next is Missouri, where Claire McCaskill has a 3 in 5 chance of winning. We've already talked about this race a little bit. I think it's to you, Micah. Buy, sell, hold.
He's going to buy.
Yeah. So if I'm going to be consistent, I sort of have to buy. I'm honestly a little torn between the operating assumption for my buys and sells of being incumbent Democrats overperform or like the partisanship of the state prevails. And if I were going by partisanship of the state prevails, I think I would sell this. Missouri has gotten much redder. Claire McCaskill has won two elections already. She didn't get lucky. She both got lucky and ran really good campaigns and was super smart about it. But there's not, you know, Josh Hawley is not Todd Akin. That said, like 3 in 5 isn't that good of a chance. You know, we have Hawley with a 40% chance of winning. So you know what? I'm going to hold.
Claire?
No, I'm going to sell.
You're going to sell?
Just to spice it. I'm going to say it's minuscule at this point. But I'm going to sell just to say, like, yes, it's a very close race. I think let's infer some stuff from things that Claire McCaskill has said over the past couple days, referring to Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren as crazy Democrats. Gee, I wonder who she's trying to appeal to with that. And maybe that says, like, oh, they're feeling the hot breath of Josh Hawley on their necks.
No, and to support Claire's argument, we have Missouri as 19 points more Republican-leaning than the country overall.
pretty red.
That's pretty red. Also, McCaskill is a 60% favorite in our classic forecast. She's a 53% favorite in our light forecast, which is basically just the polls, right? And she's a 55% favorite in our deluxe forecast. So our classic forecast is the most optimistic for McCaskill. So I'm going to change my answer from hold to sell to agree with Claire.
I like watching you back into that.
No. I'm going to go buy.
You're going to buy.
To be consistent. I have to be consistent.
So does this get at, I saw you getting in some arguments on Twitter about which regions states belong in. And so maybe how you feel about Claire McCaskill's chances has to do with whether or not you think Missouri is in the South or in the Midwest.
No one thinks Missouri is in the South. It's obviously in the Midwest.
Isn't that how we considered it in a piece this past week?
That's obviously wrong. Missouri is obviously in the Midwest. And anyone who says otherwise is a f***ing idiot.
Okay.
Who goes to the Jersey Shore.
Oh my gosh.
No, hold, Bart.
For a recent election update, we looked at how Democrats were performing by region. And if you're going to split the states up into regions, you have to make choices that one way or the other are going to offend people.
Tell me in what way Missouri is the South.
There are parts of
now
Missouri.
Now people are going to get at me about,
yes,
about the
are.
Civil War.
There are parts of Missouri that are culturally Southern, or like Pennsylvania.
Yes.
So Pennsylvania spans the Northeast, the South in central Pennsylvania, and then the Midwest in western Pennsylvania.
That's the thing. Is like, look, I'm from Pennsylvania. Politically and culturally, western Pennsylvania.
But you're not really. Philadelphia is like.
Politically and culturally, western Pennsylvania is the Midwest.
Right.
Politically and culturally, eastern Pennsylvania, particularly southeast Pennsylvania, is the Northeast.
It's New
and
Jersey.
Then central Pennsylvania. Right.
You're
is
from
the
New
South.
Jersey, Micah.
No, I am not. Anyway, my point is just that you have to make choices. There's no perfect way to do it. So what we did is we used actually an old school Nate categorization.
Oh, wait. Well, then it must be right.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that. So Nate's categorization, as you would expect, is a little more granular than just Midwest, Northeast. So he has Prairie as part of the Midwest, which is Kansas, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota. Rust Belt, part of the Midwest, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana. And then North Central, which is the final part of the Midwest, which is Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa.
And so where's Missouri?
Oh, Missouri is, yeah, that's what we were talking about. Missouri is part of the Highlands, along with Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas, West Virginia, Oklahoma, which is in the South.
Okay, so I don't know that makes sense, but perhaps if you think Claire McCaskill's odds are not great, then Missouri becomes a little more culturally Southern, considering that you have a lot of women across the Midwest
yes.
running for re-election in the Senate who are doing quite well. Amy Klobuchar, Tina Smith, Tammy Baldwin.
Exactly. The idea that Missouri is at least partially culturally and politically part of the South is not a controversial idea. That's like...
No, okay. This is
Claire's Midwestern snobbishness or something.
It is certainly,
you want
it is
Missouri?
Certainly, it is certainly my St. Louis bias. Yes.
I see. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, like you can drive to St. Louis from a lot of parts of the Midwest.
Yeah,
the
and St. Louis is like Midwestern.
Okay. Let's move on.
It's the gateway to the West, in fact.
To another state that is technically in the Midwest, although you might categorize it as Southern sometimes, and that is, can you guess what I'm talking about?
Indiana.
That is Indiana. With
Indiana,
you.
Legit, like
has a lot of Southern.
Yeah, it's like similar to Pennsylvania, but North and South. So Northern Indiana is very much with Midwestern. Southern Indiana
Gary.
Is like very much Southern.
Gary, Indiana is certainly Northern.
Midwestern, yeah.
Joe Donnelly has a 2-3 chance of winning in Indiana. We're back to you, Claire.
Aren't we to Micah?
No, I'll
Micah,
go first. I'm
well,
not
Micah
scared.
Started Missouri.
Fine,
then it went
I'll
to you,
first.
And then he ended Missouri as well.
He has a 2-3 chance. I'm going to hold.
Hold, okay. I know what Micah's going to do. Micah's going to buy.
I am going to buy, yep.
It's his incumbency.
Incumbency. Indiana is a red state. Indiana
you know, I'm out here, Micah, calling balls and strikes in all these races, and you're just giving your cop-out blanket answer about incumbency.
First of all, listeners, you can tell why we have a model in listening to this episode. It is really... No, I don't mean that in an insulting way to us. It's just, it's hard to go through these races yeah. and weigh different things. Anyway, actually, you know what? It's like, there have actually been a couple of polls lately that have shown this race closer than you would think. 2-3 is pretty good for Donnelly. Why is the model so bullish on Donnelly?
Well, I mean, we heard that ad last week, right? I mean,
he's super
running
centrist.
Kind of as a Republican in some ways.
The other thing is Mike Braun has not been a great candidate. I don't think he's run a super campaign. But look, this is a close race. Here are the recent polls. R+3, R+3, R+4, R+4. Now, that's a GOP-leaning group of pollsters. I'm going to sell.
All right. There you go. Okay. We got to move on. We have a lot more races to get to. There are three likely Republican races. And let's start with the big one. Texas, Ted Cruz has a 4 in 5 chance of winning.
No. Sell.
Sell. Okay. Claire?
Actually, I'm with you. Sell. I think I'll be a little closer.
I think people have gotten too far in the direction of...
Like, listen, I don't think Beto O'Rourke is going to win. By the way, I listened to reader feedback that said I was pronouncing it extremely white and it's saying Beto. So I'm taking the critique and pronouncing it to Beto, which I hope is better. But yeah, I think he's... We're giving forecasted vote share in our classic model is Cruz 51.9%, O'Rourke 46.5%. I could see it being closer, right?
Yeah. The classic forecast is actually the most bullish on Beto compared to Light and Deluxe.
It's all about that cash.
Look, I guess in actuality, I'm a hold in the sense that I think he does have a 1 in 5 chance, which is to say a real chance, but he's not the favorite by any means. He's a clear underdog. I just think people have gotten too far in the direction of, oh, this thing is all hype and it's not real and Cruz is a sure thing. You know, these polls show Cruz with a clear lead, but it's not like an overwhelming lead. So Beto probably needs a couple things to go right. He probably needs the polls to have a systematic bias against him. So let's say he overperforms his polls by 2 or 3 points. He probably needs that plus really good turnout. But both those things are possible. So 1 in 5 seems about right to me.
All right. From here, we are going to transition to our lightning round. So we have Tennessee. Marsha Blackburn has a 5 in 6 chance of winning. Claire?
Lightning, Claire.
I know. Sell.
Sell. Okay.
I agree.
Bredesen has a better chance.
Yeah. He is a good candidate. I think the model isn't giving him enough due.
Next up, one that we haven't really talked about all that much, Mississippi, with Cindy Hyde-Smith at a 7 in 8 chance of winning. That's Republican Cindy Hyde-Smith. Micah, buy, sell, hold.
Buy. To Mississippi.
Yeah, you buy or hold.
And the theory here is that the only reason the Democrat could possibly win is in a runoff?
Yes. He's doing okay. He's doing better in a runoff. Mike Espy, the Democrat. I'll go buy, too.
His best chance would be, to be clear, though, if, like, McDaniel.
Right.
If it was, like, an Espy McDaniel runoff.
He's not going to. I mean, maybe I'll hold. Yeah, buy. Buy. We're both buy.
Yeah, buy. It would take... Like, if Beto needs two things to go his way, the Democrat in Mississippi needs, like, four things
this
to go his way.
This guy needs every Republican voter in Mississippi to come down with norovirus on Election Day.
Okay. There you go. Continuing the lightning round, our last group here is likely Democratic races. First up, another one we haven't talked about a lot is in Minnesota with Tina Smith. She has a 9 in 10 chance of winning. Claire.
With those, it's like, I'm going to hold because that's a pretty good chance.
Yeah, I'm going to hold too. That seems about right. Minnesota is redder than most people think, but it's a blue state in a blue year.
I think part of the reason we give her that chance is because we don't technically view her as an incumbent because she was appointed after Al Franken stepped down. Amy Klobuchar, who is an incumbent there, has a much better... I mean, that's like solid blue.
Yeah, you know, if you look at the historical data, appointed incumbents typically don't perform as well or gain as much of an advantage out of incumbency as elected incumbents, as you would expect. Elected incumbents were elected. You
know. All right. Another fun one, New Jersey. Bob Menendez has a 9 in 10 chance of winning in Jersey. Claire?
I'm going to sell.
Sell.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anytime there's like extenuating circumstances, the model is trained on historical data, right? So the model is sort of biased towards whatever is normal. So in this case, there are extenuating circumstances against a Democrat, so let's sell.
These are not normal circumstances, Bob Menendez. Okay.
Yeah, he's still a favorite, but like, you know.
Yeah.
Moving on to West Virginia, where Joe Manchin has an 8 in 9 chance of pulling it out there. Begin with you, Micah.
I, in order to be consistent, have to say buy. I actually think it's a sell. I don't know.
Wait,
I can't decide between...
Micah, you have to go with...
I'm a hold.
The Scottish teams are waiting.
I can't decide whether I think there's a better chance the polls will be wrong because partisanship wins out or the polls will be wrong because incumbency wins out. I've been answering all these as if it's incumbency, but I actually think it's more likely that partisanship wins out.
But there's also like a third category, which is national environment, generic ballot, elections win
it's
out.
It's the norovirus.
The polls are
option.
Right.
Or even that the polls are off and it's even better for Democrats because of what we've seen in
right.
special elections, et cetera.
Okay, I'm selling.
I'm buying, just to disagree with Claire.
Great.
All right. And our last one, Montana, with John Tester, who has a 5-6 chance of getting reelected to his Senate seat. Claire.
Sell.
No, I'm kidding. Bye. Incumbent Democrat in a Democratic year. Bye. I just think people shouldn't be surprised by if Montana ends up looking more like North Dakota or North Dakota ends up looking more like Montana.
Right.
Don't be surprised by either of those things.
All right. We're going to leave it there, you guys. Thanks a lot for some Halloween fun. I don't think we're going to tell Nate that we did this. Maybe he'll see it in the feed. Maybe he won't.
This is the secret behind Nate's
behind
back
Nate's
podcast.
Back.
Because he does not agree with making subjective calls.
We're actually about to go egg his office right now.
All right, that's a wrap. Thank you, Claire.
Thanks, Galen.
Thank you, Micah.
Thank you for having me.
And we will have more podcasts coming your way this week. Remember to send in your questions for Model Talk. My name is Galen Druk. Tony Chow is in the control room. You can get in touch by emailing us at podcasts@538.com. You can also, of course, tweet at us with any questions or comments. If you're a fan of the show, leave us a rating or a review in the Apple Podcast Store. When you leave a rating, it helps our rankings, which helps others discover the show. Or just tell someone about us. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you soon.